Good morning, everyone, and welcome to today's teleconference. We've been joined by our defending NASCAR Sprint Cup Series champion, Kevin Harvick, driver of the number 4 Budweiser Jimmy John's Chevrolet for Stewart Haas Racing. Harvick has 2 wins in a series leading 18 top fives in 2015. He currently sits 15th on the chase grid, heading into Sunday's AAA 400 at Dover International Speedway. Coverage of the AAA 400 can be seen live on NBCSN at 2:30 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. Kevin, your team is no stranger to performing under pressure. Talk about your mindset heading into the final race of the Challenger round on Sunday.
It's really no different than how we would approach any other week. I think as you look at the scenario, I think obviously we've been in this position before, and but in the end, it doesn't really change the approach at all. As you go into the weekend, you start on Monday, you finish up last week, you have your competition meeting, you talk about next week, and then you go about normal life throughout the week. So it's really no different other than the circumstances with the points and the championship and everything that goes with it. But as far as an approach standpoint, we'll do everything exactly the same.
Thank you. And we'll now go to the media for questions for today's guest, Kevin Harvick.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you do have a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad at this time. Questions will be taken in the order they were received. If at any time your question has been answered, you can remove yourself from the queue by pressing 1. Again, if you're using a speakerphone, we ask that while posing your question, you pick up your handset to provide favorable sound quality. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad at this time. Please hold while we poll for questions. And our first question comes from Mike Henry of USA Today. Mike, state your question.
Kevin, obviously you were in this situation last year, although at a different track, and you guys came through with flying colors. I know you have confidence in your guys and your cars, but does having done this last year add sort of an extra level of confidence to that?
I think we're confident in our ability and the things that we do to prepare the cars and race on any given weekend. I think as you look at the scenario, obviously it is what it is, and I think last year we were able to perform and get the results that we needed. So it's really the same thing that we did last week. It just didn't all work out in the last 3 laps. So I think as we go into this weekend, I think it's been a really good racetrack for us, performance wise over the last year and a half, and we've had a couple of freak things happen with the lug nut knocking the valve stem off a couple times at the same racetrack, but led a bunch of laps and looking forward to the challenge this weekend. And honestly, for me personally, I like these types of situations. I think they're different and fun, and it's all in the approach and how you react to them. So I think as a team, we'll do everything from a preparation standpoint the same. But I think if you can get the result and get that sensation of win and all the things that come with the type of situation that we're in, it's even more fun.
All right, sir, and our next question comes from Dan Gleston of the Associated Press. Dan, state your question.
Hi, Kevin. 2-part question. One, did the team figure out exactly what happened with the fuel situation on Sunday? Rodney said it might have been a busted part or fuel cell bladder issue. Did you guys find out exactly what the issue was?
I actually haven't spoken specifically to Rodney about what happened. I try to stay out of those types of scenarios just because of the fact that I can just add more layers to the process of trying to figure that out. I know from a mileage standpoint, it was definitely something that shouldn't have been an issue to make it to the number as far as gas in the tank, as far as how much gas it pulled out, or if the car was actually full or not. I don't know the answer to that 100%.
And a quick follow up to that, stretching the fuel last week and then in Chicago not pitting with the tire up. Did you feel like there were some unnecessary risks taken by the team, or do you feel confident those were still the right decisions to make at the time?
I don't look at either of those scenarios as risk. I think obviously Chicago, you know, the tire rub is hard to see, and I think with the smoke going away, and you obviously didn't know it was as bad as it was, so it's definitely something that you have to react pretty quickly on. I think last week nobody viewed as a risk, just for the fact that it shouldn't have even been close with the pace that we had to run and the mileage that we had gathered from everything they had on a pit box. So I don't think anybody views last week as a risk, just for the fact that the mileage wasn't even close.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Bill Fleischman of the Philadelphia Daily News. Bill, state your question.
Good morning, Kevin. I know this is old news, but I wasn't at New Hampshire, and perhaps I missed it, but have you and Jimmy Johnson communicated over what happened at Chicago?
We've moved, as a team, we've moved on to Dover.
Okay. So I take it you haven't, and you have no plans to communicate?
We're just constant on the things that we need to right now.
Okay, thank you. Well, if I could just follow up on this. You've had such a great season, so consistent, running up front and everything, and we all know these things happen in the chase, but you can be in this position. Are you kind of shocked that you're in this? That I suspect you had no idea that you'd be where you are after two races. So.
Well, I think as a competitor, and when you look at other sports and as a competitor in general, you know that situations like this are – I mean, we've had these situations last year, to be perfectly honest with you, in a different round, but same scenario as we had last year after Martinsville and with the win in the Phoenix and then going into Homestead. So, you know, it's not something that we haven't been a part of. And I think as a race team and sports team, you know that these types of situations are going to come about and you react to them the best that you can you swing for the fence and hope that you make a spectacular moment. So it's something that you know or you're going to be a part of at some point. And we've been a part of many times throughout my career as far as scenarios, situations, and it's just really part of sports, and that's what makes it exciting.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Lee Spencer of Motorsport.com. Lee, state your question.
Thank you. Good morning, Kevin. I wanted to ask you about Tony's announcement yesterday. You put up a nice statement on the internet, but really a life-changing situation for you hooking up with the Stornos Racing, and what you've been able to accomplish in the last 2 years.
Yeah, I think as you look at everything that Tony announced yesterday, obviously I've known for a while, and yesterday I told Tony last night, I said that one kind of hit me like a ton of bricks, just for the fact that it's actually out there and it's real and it's going to happen, and that's the decision that he's made. So, for me, I came to Stewart Haas Racing for several reasons, but I think one of the biggest reasons was to come race with Tony and lean on him for not only his friendship but his experience of winning championships as a driver and a car owner, and to be able to experience what we did last year with him was really special, just for the fact that obviously that was my first championship, and just to bring something positive into end his year was important and fun for me personally, all in the same breath. So it was definitely something that has kind of caught my attention, and I haven't really known how to react to it just for the fact that it's real now. So I think as we move forward, I think Tony will be obviously a big part of the race team and still there for us to lean on for advice, probably more than he is now. And I think he'll be a great figure as we move forward for Stewart Haas Racing and still be, a great friend and somebody that I can lean on off the racetrack as well. So you guys all know how Tony is. I mean, he's just one of those people that he's worried about everybody else more than he is himself, and I think this is a decision that he obviously feels comfortable with and seems to be excited about moving forward with his life in general, and that's really the most important thing is that he's happy in his life, and for us to see a smile on his face is the most important thing.
And given your relationship with Rodney, if you two weren't so close, I mean, almost like brothers, would it have made the last 2 weeks a little more difficult? And, you know, do you just, I mean, almost having real confidence in the fact that, you know, the two of you and as the team will be able to pull together and ride this thing out?
Oh, yeah. You know, I think, you know, this all goes back to a lot of the conversations that Rodney and I had together before he ever even stepped foot into the Stuart Haas shop. I mean, you know, we made a deal, and that was, you know, I gave all the information and was a part of the team and process. And when it came to times that were tough, whether it be with the race car or on the track, he would support me and I would support him. So, you know, those guys on our team, it's a really, really tight knit bunch of guys, and we're all going to support each other because we're all going to make mistakes in different situations, and I don't think we've necessarily made a mistake, but I think we've definitely had to react to some situations throughout the last couple of years, and I think it's made us stronger as we move forward and better from on a weekly basis as a team. So it's just part of what we do, and I think you know, when you look at the performance of the race cars on the racetrack is really it's absolutely unbelievable. I mean, I'm just lucky to drive the cars and to let certain situations affect something like that would be absolutely crazy on any of our parts. So, you know, we battle through situations and we try to make the best out of every moment, and whether it's practice, qualifying, or the race, and have the utmost confidence in each other. And it's really, you know, we really haven't even talked about it other than, you know, maybe a couple texts here and there of things that they had talked about and done. And we moved on from our competition meeting and immediately started talking about Dover and what we needed to do. So it's like, you know, internally at Greg and Rodney and the engineers in the shop, we'll talk through the situation and we'll talk about Dover next week, because that's really what we do on a weekly basis. But definitely, you know, having a good relationship, you know, with each other is important, and I think has really been a positive for us, you know, as we've moved through the last couple of years.
Really appreciate your time, Kevin. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad at this time. Please hold while we pull for more questions. And our next question comes from Dwight Drum of Racetake.com. Dwight, state your question.
Thank you. Kevin, from what you said, you know, about the pressure of, that you guys face, it's basically what you're saying, that it's hard to try harder. But do you expect, you know, anything different from other guys that are in the chase? And how about the other drivers? Do you expect any kind of different track activity out of them with your situation?
Well, I would, you know, if I were in their shoes, you would do everything that you could to win the race, finish in front of, or whatever the circumstances are to, you know, to try to keep us from winning, for sure, just for the fact that, you know, I think that makes for a better case for the championship and results as you move forward. So it's definitely a little bit of a game, I guess you could say, just for the fact that, you know, everybody's trying to better their position, whether it be in points or just in scenario as you move on to the next round. So I definitely think that everybody is going to do everything they can to try to win the race just as they would every week. So it's definitely an interesting situation for sure.
And as far as the pressure goes, do you think you guys just seem to handle it better than the rest of us mortals?
We sure talk about it a lot less. I know that's for sure. You know, for us, it's really just another week. And, you know, obviously the circumstances and what's on the line is different than what would be on the line, you know, in the first 26 weeks. But it really doesn't change our approach. And I've talked about this a little bit in other places this morning, but you know, I think as you look at, you know, the things that we've been through as a team over the past couple of years, we've been in a lot of pretty intense situations. But for me personally, I think that these things are kind of a walk in the park compared to the Earnhardt situations of taking over his car and you know, having to deal with that and all the things that we dealt with back in 2001. It kind of makes these scenarios a little bit easier to deal with, because you've dealt with things that are on a much bigger scale than the current things of just performing on the racetrack.
Thanks, Kevin. Good luck.
Thank you.
And there are no further questions. I'm going to turn the floor over to NASCAR's Amanda Ellis.
Kevin, thank you for joining us today, and we wish you the best of luck this weekend in Dover.
All right, guys. Thank you.
And thank you to the media for joining us as well. A transcript of this teleconference will be available later today, along with the audio files, and all can be accessed at NASCARmedia.com. Thank you.